Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, January 19th. I am Jason Powell. We're going to start today with my WWE Raw hit list. I will also have some bonus thoughts on Raw, and we will discuss the Jim Ross situation. Very quickly, .net members, there is a new RSS feed. Be sure to check the main news listing, or it's always available in the upper right corner of your screen. So if you have been waiting for a download that hasn't happened and you are listening on the website, be sure to check that out. All right, let's get into the WWE Raw hit list, which I published in print on the main page of ProWrestling.net today. We will start, as always, with the WWE Raw hits. Chris Jericho, a strong rebound for Jericho. The cartwheels, the throwback lines, and even Stephanie McMahon calling him out on using some old material left me firmly believing that everything he has done so far is by design. I admit that I feared Jericho had lost his cool, but I came away from Raw feeling like Jericho knows exactly what he's doing. Either way, I like that he was given a status boost heading into the Royal Rumble match. He wasn't fighting a losing battle of seeing who can ham it up more with New Day. He was front and center with Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, and Roman Reigns where he belongs. WWE needs Jericho to be a star, not a mid-card nostalgia act, and they made him feel like he's in the top of the card mix just in time for the Rumble. I went from groaning at the thought of Jericho even being in the Rumble match to feeling like he's at least a dark horse candidate to win the Rumble match. Jericho's verbal battle with Paul Heyman was excellent, and the hype for the highlight reel segment with Reigns and Lesnar as guests served as a great hook throughout the show. Second hit, Roman Reigns versus Rusev. The match was nothing special, but I appreciate the way Reigns managed to turn a live crowd that was mixed when he made his entrance to open the show. The Boo Birds were silenced. Well, at least they were silenced when this match ended, but they returned when Reigns' entrance interrupted a potential Lesnar and Jericho showdown. Still, it was a good night for Roman, who got a chance to talk more as opposed to standing there listening to Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon talk as he's been doing in recent weeks. Vince and Stephanie have played a big part in any popularity growth that there has been for Roman in recent weeks, but the guy has to be given a chance to stand on his own, and last night was an example of that. Stephanie McMahon and Chris Jericho hit. It was odd to see Jericho book a match and name himself the special referee, yet not unprecedented given that he booked a recent New Day versus Uso Brothers match and put himself in the corner of the Uso Brothers. Still, it was nice to see Stephanie McMahon call him out. I normally cringe when Stephanie emasculates wrestlers for no good reason. In this case, it was logical for her character to claim her territory, and Jericho left the exchange no worse for the wear. A minor hit for the Wyatt family. The Wyatts beat the Dudleys and Ryback clean in a six-man tag match, and more importantly, they laid out Brock Lesnar at the end of the show. This was a nice change from last week's anyone but you, Roman, approach, which strangely implies that Bray Wyatt is content with someone other than Reigns winning the match when his goal should be to use the numbers advantage he has to win the championship. The reason this is merely a minor hit is that it felt like it was too little too late for the Wyatts and certainly for League of Nations. The Wyatt family are a better act, and I still hold out hope that WWE will get it right with them, whereas League of Nations felt dead on arrival, and that didn't change last night. Still, it was nice to see some effort made to making it seem like the Rumble match is about more than just Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I can't imagine many people believe a Wyatt family member or someone from League of Nations will win, but at least they established both factions as thorns in the side of the main players Reigns and Lesnar heading into Sunday. Final hit, Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Ric Flair. This wasn't as hot as last week when Lynch cut the great promo, but it was still effective. It will be interesting to see whether Flair accepting the match his daughter clearly didn't want will lead to an on-air split, or if it will simply be forgotten. By the way, what was stopping Charlotte from simply taking the mic and pointing out that she never agreed to the match and therefore it wasn't happening? Aside from that, it's refreshing to see a women's program receive solid storyline support for the first time since the so-called Divas Revolution began. And now we are into the WWE Raw Misses section. First miss, Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon named Roman Reigns the first entrant. It was nice to see they didn't leave a huge logic gap by not naming Reigns first entrant. After all, the McMahons went through all the trouble of setting him up to fail in the Rumble match, so it would have seemed odd if they left his match entry point up to chance. The miss is due to the actual segment. Watching Vince McMahon fumble and struggle to open the number containers was comical for all the wrong reasons, but I did laugh at Stephanie Zinger about it not being worse than Vince being on the telephone during the McMahon Millions campaign. Ultimately, this segment just went on and on. I think we all figured out they stacked the deck against Reigns the first time, and we didn't need two more long, painful drawings to drive it home. Well, actually, Byron Saxton may have needed a fourth drawing since he actually questioned whether it was really a coincidence. Gee, you think, Byron? Saxton should have been outraged, not questioning the legitimacy of a drawing in a way that made him look like a simpleton. Next miss, Big Show versus Heath Slater. I really tried to give the Social Outcast the benefit of the doubt when they were introduced, but I already cringe more when I see them together on camera than I did when I saw them separately. That said, nothing is more cringeworthy than what appeared to be the latest in a never-ending series of babyface heel flip-flops for Big Show. He played to the crowd like a babyface during the match, and then even posed for a fan selfie pic at ringside afterward. Maybe Show has turned so many times at WWE figures it's not even worth taking the time to write a real turn for him. Next miss, Natalya and Paige. It was nice to see both women back on Raw, but apparently we're supposed to forget that the two of them had some serious issues stemming from Natalya being attacked on SmackDown. I don't think they ever took the time to say officially that Paige was the mystery attacker, but it was certainly implied. I would like to believe that an explanation is coming. However, the broadcast team didn't even seem to remember it, so I guess the idea is just to pretend like it never happened. Next missed, Sheamus and Alberto Del Rio against Dean Ambrose and Kalisto. Part of the goal of this match seemed to be building up League of Nations for Sunday, yet the even bigger purpose felt like they were trying to fill television time. It was strange seeing Kalisto lose again after they announced that he'll be challenging Del Rio for the U.S. title he just lost one day after winning it. Ambrose is Teflon, and he could have taken the fall, especially since they had Kevin Owens on commentary, which sets up all sorts of distraction or interference finishes. Granted, such a finish may have put the focus on Owens rather than League of Nations, but did you come away from this match looking at League of Nations any differently? Me neither. Final miss, Jey Uso versus Big E. I had this one penciled in as a win for Jey Uso while I was doing live coverage last night because it seemed like the obvious approach to take after they announced the Uso brothers would be challenging New Day for the tag titles on Sunday. Instead, they went with one of the champions pinning one of the challengers. Why should we be excited about the Uso brothers or Kalisto heading into Sunday? That wraps up the WWE Raw hit list. I will be getting into my bonus thoughts on Raw, and again talking about Jim Ross and TNA Impact. First, I want to give you a quick word about ProWrestling.net membership. What a great time to sign up. We have a newly redesigned site. If you've checked out the main website of ProWrestling.net, we have also overhauled the member side of things. It looks great, and with the Royal Rumble coming up on Sunday, you can enjoy ad-free access to my live coverage. If you're someone who maybe you listen to our audio, you don't follow our live coverage, I like to tell people that we do offer live commentary. It's not just, here's what's happening, which you may be watching anyway. We actually offer live analysis on the spot, and I'll be doing that on Sunday, beginning with the kickoff show at 6 Central, 7 Eastern time. So if you're still watching football, but you want to follow along with the Royal Rumble, great place to do it at ProWrestling.net. And again, on the member side of things, it's the ad-free version. If you enjoy our audio content, which hopefully you do, if you're listening to this, know that there is a ton more available for members exclusively every week. Already so far this week, my Q&A audio show, my full-length WWE Raw audio review from last night. The members will be hearing the Pretentious Pro Wrestling Podcast. You guys hear portions of that show here on the All Access side, but the members hear it in its entirety, and they will hear the .NET Weekly audio show coming up either on Thursday or Friday. We'll be spending a lot of time discussing the Royal Rumble, plus audio reviews of the Ring of Honor television show, the TNA Impact Wrestling show, the NXT show, and so on and so on. I mean, there's just a ton of audio available, and then Sunday night, the big one, Jake Barnett and I will get together and review the WWE Royal Rumble pay-per-view shortly after it happens. That audio show will be available to members late that night, and therefore, if you're on the way to work and you want to be able to hear what we thought of the Rumble the next morning, it will be there waiting for you. So all you have to do for membership information is visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. You can either click on the info section to get a little bit more information on what we have to offer. If you are ready to sign up, the sign-up form is right there, too, on the right side of the main page at ProWrestling.net, and you can sign up for $7.50 for 1 month if you just want to try us out. If you want to save yourself some money, there's a six-month option. You want to save yourself the most money, take the annual option. It brings the price down to $5.50 per month on average. Again, all the details available on the main page at ProWrestling.net. Okay, it's time for bonus thoughts on WWE Raw. We have not heard Triple H's name mentioned on television lately. I think the last time that one of the wrestlers, maybe Roman Reigns, brought it up and taking a jab at Stephanie or something, but the last time that a McMahon mentioned it was when Vince McMahon said that, well, he actually told Roman Reigns that Hunter will exact his revenge when Reigns least suspects it. And that certainly leaves the working theory of Hunter entering the Royal Rumble match late, perhaps even as number 30, and winning the match in the championship in play. Of course, he could simply cost Reigns the match somehow, but either way, I do suspect that we are going to see Triple H make his return to television on Sunday, perhaps even winning the Royal Rumble match. We've been talking about it for quite a while as a possibility, and I think it's still very much in play. You know, and as much as I felt like the McMahons had to name Roman Reigns the first entrant in the Rumble match, it also leaves us with the likely scenario of Roman Reigns being in the Royal Rumble match for a ridiculously long period of time. One of the problems with his win last year is that he didn't put in a good performance in the short amount of time he was in there. You know, he's improved since then, but if he's in the match late, will he have the endurance to deliver a strong performance then when it counts the most? And perhaps equally important is how burned out on Reigns the crowd could be by the end of the match. Even if it's a pro-Reigns crowd to start with, there are going to be a lot of other wrestlers coming and going, and the fans may shift their allegiance to another wrestler. If Reigns were entering later, they could keep him away from a lot of guys. They fear like the fans may actually choose over him. If he goes bell to bell, that's not possible. It's a risky move if they really, I mean, I just don't believe Reigns is going to win the Rumble on Sunday. I'm not saying he won't be in there late, but I don't think he's going to win. I mean, Vince McMahon has shamelessly shoved Reigns down our throats at times, and some would even argue all along, but even he has to know that would be going too far for Reigns to start at number one and win this thing. I mean, unless there's a heel turn coming very soon, I think that would do more harm than good for Reigns as far as his popularity is concerned. And finally on Raw, one area where I felt like WWE could have done more last night, they've done such a good job of heating up the Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose rivalry, but last night, Owens is out there on commentary, Ambrose is in the ring, and there really wasn't much to it. That was disappointing, so I'm hoping that on SmackDown they're going to do something else to finally get people fired up about that one last time. They kind of took a step back last night, and I thought that was a mistake. Speaking of SmackDown, we are looking for correspondents for tonight's taping in Dayton, Ohio. If you are going to the show and you can help us out, .netjason@gmail.com is the email address. Spell it out, dotnetjason@gmail.com. You know, I've laughed many times about WWE whenever they move to a new night with SmackDown, or they change networks. There's always talk that there's going to be renewed emphasis, and it comes from WWE. It's not like people are making this up. It comes from WWE because, I mean, that's the buzz internally. And then what we usually see happen is that 3-4 weeks in, they just kind of go back to normal with it. And I really thought this time, and it may still be different, but I'm hopeful this time will be different only because it's USA Network, you know, because they finally moved the show to USA Network, and obviously they have the strong partnership with them with Raw. I like that they're actually taking the time to promote matches. You know, they announced three of them last week. This week they announced, well, a segment and a match. I don't know about you, it's kind of hard to be excited about their go-to. We don't know what we're going to do on this show. Let's just go with Miz TV. And that's what they're doing. Miz TV with Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens. So I'm guessing we'll get some sort of an angle there. Maybe I'll be satisfied with it. But it's just like, really, don't promote Miz TV after all this time where that's the only thing you would promote most weeks for SmackDown is some throwaway Miz TV segment. This one could be very good. And the other one is a match that does nothing for me. Roman Reigns against League of Nations. They didn't specify any, you know, all four, because Barrett can't wrestle. I mean, if you see him out there, my guess is that the match will end before he has to tag in, unless he's been medically cleared, because if you've noticed, he's not doing anything, because he hasn't been cleared medically for any sort of physicality. Maybe he's left out of it. I don't know, but it's like, really, a handicap match and Miz TV. That's your big hype for SmackDown just 3 weeks into the USA Network run. Very disappointing. Jim Ross has officially signed with Access to call the weekly New Japan Pro Wrestling shows that air Friday nights. As I mentioned, you know, in talking about this last week when it was rumored that it was going to be happening, I think it's a great fit for Ross. It doesn't require that weekly travel. He gets to deliver a big match call to some really big matches. I mean, that's his specialty. And he's going to be calling the show along with the MMA fighter and occasional pro wrestler Josh Barnett. I think they're going to make a really good team. For those who don't watch the show and haven't heard Josh's call, he calls it like it's a sporting event, which is how it should be called. And he provides really unique analysis. For those who don't watch, I mean, Mauro Ranallo was the guy calling with Josh Barnett. And this is what really got people fired up about Mauro Ranallo as far as pro wrestling is concerned. He's done some wrestling calls in the past. And, you know, if you've watched MMA or heard his boxing calls, maybe you thought he'd be really good in pro wrestling. But it was, you know, hearing those two together is what got people so fired up about him. And I think ultimately led to WWE hiring him to be the new voice of SmackDown. And their shows are still airing. You can still hear Mauro and Josh together. The first show with Jim Ross on the call with Josh Barnett as his color commentator will be on March 4th. And I thought it was interesting that Ross noted in a Fox Sports piece on this, he was quoted as saying that he and Access have discussed other potential opportunities outside New Japan Pro Wrestling. So, you know, I mean, this is a network that airs a lot of mixed martial arts. Ross, obviously, very interested in mixed martial arts and has done, I know at least one show. I don't know how much more he's done of that. He's done some boxing as well. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if we get to hear Jim Ross calling some MMA events on Access at some point. Nothing official there, but I think that's pretty exciting and a good fit. You know, as I've said, it's not just the quality of call that Jim Ross provides. It's also the name value, star power, if you will, and the fact that he'll hustle for them. You know, we've seen that with Jim Ross when he's doing his one-man shows, or, you know, he gets himself out there, and he really, at Wrestle Kingdom 9 last year when he was doing that, when he was hired by Jeff Jarrett, he did an interview with me and a number of other people. He will hustle for them, and then obviously you factor in over a million followers on Twitter, a very well-read Ross Report blog that he does on his website, and his Ross Report podcast that he does. And, I mean, those are some great platforms to help spread the word about this show. I mentioned TNA Impact Wrestling earlier, and I see this as a must-see show if you're someone who follows a promotion even casually. It's headlined by EC3 and Matt Hardy for the TNA Championship, with the stipulation being that if Matt Hardy loses, he must leave the company. And TNA did a nice job of setting this match up over the last couple weeks. I'm looking forward to seeing this match. Boy, I mean, it's got to be more than anything else, certainly in recent memory. I can't even remember the last time I've looked forward to seeing a big TNA match. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two, but it's not even so much match quality. I mean, that should be fine. It's just that they've done a really good job, and they've set the stipulations high, and there's been some fun things going on with Matt Hardy's character. And if things go as I expect, what does that do with EC3's character going? I mean, there's some interesting stuff here. And so I definitely recommend checking that out if you are even a casual viewer of Impact. I will be offering live coverage of that show. Again, 8 Central, 9 Eastern time is when it airs on Pop. So feel free to follow along with my live coverage and commentary. And I should also mention, I'm filling in on NXT live coverage tomorrow night for Zach Zimmerman, who is in Mexico this week. And I don't know if you listened to my Raw audio review last night. Zach, if you were listening to this, stay away from the donkey show. If someone wants to bring, just don't go there. And if you missed it yesterday, my new question of the week: if you can only pick one, which NXT wrestler would you like to see enter the Royal Rumble match, and why? Keep in mind that you can list none as an answer. So, I mean, if there's, I just ask you to give a reason as to why. I normally read those results on Monday, but in this case, with the event being on Sunday, I will be reading the question of the week results coming up on Friday. If you would like to contribute, .NET members, visit the new .NET audio section in the forum, and there's already the question in there, and you can give your comments on that, and I will read some of them on Friday and give my thoughts on which, if any, NXT wrestler should end up in the Royal Rumble match. And that is going to do it for today, everybody. Please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast, all of our All Access audio content, and rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows reviews. It's always appreciated when you do that. You're helping spread the word about the podcast. And I should also note, I'll try to remember next time to do it at the top of the show. If you are an app user and you've had any issues, especially on the Apple side, voting in our polls, we are doing our year-end polls right now, and we think we found a solution. So if you've been shying away from those or even leaving us negative reviews, Yes, I read those. Because you couldn't vote in the polls, know that there is a solution there. So be sure to check that out. You are not like left out in the cold of the year-end voting. Today's category is best tag team, and if you missed it yesterday, the best broadcaster option is also open. And if you go back to last week, you can vote for the best female wrestler. We've done best female act in the past. Thank God we've gotten to a point in pro wrestling where there's a need for best female wrestler. It was pretty thin there for a little while, but we're certainly in a better place with that. And we will be unveiling the rest of the categories this week. The plan is to probably around midweek next week to have all of the year-end stuff finalized, and you'll get staff comments on that, and with along with our picks and certainly the final tallies of the polls. You guys choose who win the awards, and then we comment on them and tell you who we would have picked. Sometimes it's the same as you guys, and other times not so much. But I'm looking forward to finding out who you guys vote for, and obviously I will chime in on that as well. But that is going to do it again for today. Thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you again real soon. Take care.